I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, we're number one. The United States has overtaken China, Italy, and every other country in the world in the number of documented COVID-19 cases. It's a dubious and troubling honor, to be sure, and it caps a week unlike any before it, around the globe and here in North Carolina.
My name is Jennifer. I'm up in Caswell County. I am a retired registered nurse, and so I am spending my day experimenting. I have cut up some old scrub gowns, and I am making reusable face masks. I'm going to take a prototype over to Annie Penn Hospital in Reidsville, and I'm also sending one up to Delaware to my niece, who is currently an RN in the operating room.
There's a strong likelihood that we are going to see a surge in cases, and it's likely to occur a couple of weeks from now. But not to be lulled into complacency because we're lagging behind some of the larger metropolitan areas in the country.
The very fact that for the first time in the history of the state of North Carolina, that the legislative branch of government is meeting instead of in this building, is meeting remotely from around the state. And I think it's a sobering thought for a lot of us the where we are right now.
My name is Stephanie. I'm from Raleigh, and my husband still works completely in his office. They haven't come up with a policy that he can work from home yet. So anytime he leaves our house, interaction with someone that could potentially bring it back into our house, being 8 months pregnant, I really don't want to get sick. I don't want to get sick anyway, but just makes it that much worse.
As teachers, students, doctors, nurses, sanitation workers, restaurant employees, small business owners, and all of us try to adjust to the new normal, elected leaders are making some tough decisions. Late Friday, Governor Roy Cooper dropped the latest, a full statewide stay-at-home order.
But we have to act now in the safest, smartest way while we have the chance to save lives. It is truly a matter of life and death.
No matter what we do at this point, hospitalizations in North Carolina are very likely to go up in the next few weeks, as are deaths. But testing is changing, as the Department of Health and Human Services is now telling people with mild symptoms not to get tested. So let's start there with Rose Hoban. She's the editor and founder of North Carolina Health News. With all of these life changes and all of these numbers, how will we know if and when the curve is flattening in our state?
Well, in the absence of widespread, quote-unquote, horizontal testing, we really don't know how many people have coronavirus and likely will continue to see hospitalizations from people who develop pneumonia from it. So the answer to your question is that we'll see flattening when we see flattening in the number of hospitalizations, and we haven't seen that yet. All the best guesses is that we are, like you said, behind other places that have had worse outbreaks and where the hospitals are filling up now. You know, you talked about Louisiana. They had Mardi Gras celebrations the weekend before February 25th, and there were a million people on the streets of New Orleans over the course of days, hanging out, swilling one another's beer, trading cheap plastic beads that probably had bacteria on them. Now their hospitals are rapidly filling up. So we haven't had any big events like that where people had the opportunity to spread this thing around.
State lawmakers have begun moving on coronavirus measures. What are the working groups looking at, and what's the timeline for the state legislature to make some real decisions?
Well, you know, I actually went down to Raleigh yesterday to sit in on the healthcare working group for the special committee on coronavirus response. And you've been down there, Dave. Like, those meeting rooms are cramped. And the lawmakers all sit around this big U-shaped table and then a gallery of like 50 or 60 black plastic chairs where, you know, lobbyists and people like you and me sit and congregate. So yesterday, they had only 10 chairs, each placed about 8 feet apart, and I was the only person in the gallery, which was really surreal. The sergeant-at-arms pulled over a second chair for me so I could put my stuff on it, and I wiped them both down with bleach wipes and also had my hand sanitizer with me that I used liberally. Anyway, most of the honorables were on the screen at the front of the room in little boxes wearing polo shirts, and a couple were obviously using their iPhones, and they had some tech woes of their own. Anyway, they heard from hospital folks and provider folks, and all those people are super worried about cash flow. You know, that decision to stop all of the elective and non-time-sensitive surgeries means that it's cut off important revenue streams for hospitals, and then doctors' offices aren't seeing patients, so they're not making revenue. Chip Baggett from the Medical Society told about physicians' offices furloughing staff and not knowing how long they can survive on telehealth visits alone. And both representatives of the hospital and the physicians talked about the profound lack of PPE. So Chip Baggett said he's been getting desperate calls from providers. And so the sound quality was pretty poor because I was taping. So I'm just going to read you a partial transcript of what he said. Quote, I have to this is what doctors told him. I have to decide whether to expose myself potentially to keep seeing my patients or close my doors. And then Chip said, physicians, PAs, and other healthcare workers are having to worry about, even if I do have PPE, should I go home? Should I stay in the same room as my family? Should I sleep in the garage? What if my health system or employer tells me I've got one mask for 5 days and I know that mask is inadequate? Is this jeopardizing my whole family? He said that many of the providers were willing to take the risks for themselves, but not for their entire families. He also told a story about one of his board members being at the hospital when they had their first COVID patient. So when he went home, he said he was, quote unquote, dirty, took off his clothes in the garage. About a day later, the guy thought he was doing okay, and then he looked down and realized his hand was shaking. So even with the cash flow issues, the hospital and physician representatives called for a complete lockdown on the state to slow the spread. So yesterday was basically a first informative meeting. Chairman Josh Dobson said that they're looking to come up with some legislative help for physicians and, you know, for everybody, basically, out of their working group. And then also he talked about the fact that, they may ask to come back earlier than April 28th, which is when the legislature is due to come back. And there's going to be some legislation that will be needed to be passed in order to get some of the federal dollars flowing to the state. There's a bunch of things that they have to do. Yesterday was the first meeting, and they're still getting their feet under them, but they plan on moving fast.
And finally, it's been a tough week, to say the least. Is there something you've seen out there in your community, in the state, or across the globe that's giving you hope?
So we were all getting really bummed out, so we decided to add some lighthearted thing, a mental health minute on our daily Coronavirus Today story. So yesterday, it was about people in Fayetteville putting a teddy bear in their windows so that families walking around with their kids to get some exercise can, you know, find the bears, right? So that the funny little backstory on that is our reporter who lives down there, he went out looking for bears on people's porches and walked for like an hour before realizing that people had them in windows and he was looking in the wrong place.
Yeah, we got them in windows in my house, yeah.
Right. So the image we have on our site is of the bears on his porch.
Rose Hoban is editor of NorthCarolinaHealthNews.org. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Hi, I'm Anita Rao, and I work with Dave at WUNC North Carolina Public Radio, which produces this podcast. And this is a good time to say thanks to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you're an individual donor or a business, we cannot say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment, and we couldn't manage without your help. So thank you. And if you're able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or perhaps increase your support.
Here's a thought to maybe help carry you through the weekend. This coming May is the 6th anniversary of the death of Maya Angelou. She passed away in Winston-Salem, where she was on the faculty at Wake Forest University. The morning we learned of it at WUNC, I was assigned to go to Winston to do a story. We call it a quick turn obituary. I had only a passing knowledge of her work, so I had to get up to speed fast. What I learned from people I spoke to on campus at Wake was that she was a fantastic teacher and had left a strong, meaningful mark on students and colleagues there. We're looking to a lot of places for guidance and understanding and inspiration right now, and maybe this can be one. The last few lines of Maya Angelou's poem, Human Family.
We love and lose in China. We weep on England's moors and laugh and moan in Guinea and thrive on Spanish shores. We seek success in Finland, are born and die in Maine. In minor ways we differ, in major we're the same. I note the obvious differences between each sort and type, but we are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike. We are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike. We are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike.
That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you Monday.